Have you ever wondered sometimes why God doesn't seem to answer your prayer requests? Well, God hears all our prayers and in one sense answers all our prayers. But when we ask God for something, the response isn't always what we want. It can be a bit like a traffic light, red meaning no, amber meaning wait, and green meaning go or yes when God says yes. But when the request isn't right, God says no. In 1 John 5 verses 14 to 15, God has promised that when we ask for things that are in line with his will for our lives, he will give us what we ask for. And the great theologian John Stott writes that God will say no if the things we ask for are either not good in themselves, not good for us or for others, directly, indirectly, or whether now or in the future. If we had a time machine and could go back to the past to change decisions that we made ourselves that seemed right at the time, but we didn't pray about them to God, how many decisions would we go back and change? I'd be forever going back because I've got a big list of them. But thankfully, God knows when we are not asking the right things. When we realise this, we can actually say, thank God that he didn't answer our prayers. But we don't always get to know the reason why the answer is no. In this situation, we need to remember that God sees things from an eternal perspective, not a short-term worldly one like we do, and that there are some things that we will never understand in this life. But Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." So when we get a no answer, however hard it might be, we must trust that whatever we asked for wasn't according to God's will. Another thing to consider is, are we asking the right questions? Are our prayers bold enough? The great evangelist Billy Graham said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayer that no one bothered to ask." At the start of the pandemic, there was a wave of panic buying where people thought things would run out and so panicked and bought supplies of items like toilet rolls. Bear with me on this illustration. We often take advantage of prayer being available to us 24/7. There is no panic when we know it will always be there and it won't run out. So we can become complacent. We put it off because we're too busy, or we'll say we'll pray later when we're too tired. Or these are just my excuses. Unless, of course, we really there is something that we're desperate for that we then pray with urgency. But prayer should be at the top of our priorities. And the more we pray, the more we spend time with God. And God loves us and he wants to hear from us. In James 4 verse 2, we are told, "You do not have because you do not ask God." And the devil is happy for us not to pray. It makes things easier for him the further away we are from God. The Dutch Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom said, "When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy." Amber is a time when God doesn't say no, but says wait, not yet. Now when Luke wrote this gospel, the passage that we've heard this morning, the coming of the kingdom when Jesus returns wasn't going to be as imminent as the disciples had hoped for. And there were to be some difficult days ahead for the disciples. So Jesus was teaching them to pray and never give up in the face of the persecution, opposition and injustice that he knew would come their way. Always pray and never give up. An outstanding example from more recent history of praying without giving up happened in 1949. You may know this story. On the island of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, there were two sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith. One of them was 82 and crippled with arthritis, and the other one was 84 and blind. So they couldn't do much physically, but they could pray. And they were upset at the state of their own parish on the island of Lewis. Not a single young person went to the church. And the women were so concerned about this that they made it a priority for prayer. And one of the women, received a vision of young people filling the church. She called the local parish minister and through him encouraged more prayer by the church elders. And there were no instant answers to the prayer, but they refused to give up and they kept on praying in their cottage. The church elders kept praying in a barn for many hours and many weeks. And this went on until one night one of the young deacons stood up and read from Psalm 24. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. He turned to the others and said, it is just so much humbug to be waiting like this, night after night, month after month, if we ourselves are not right with God. They all nodded and he continued, I must ask myself, is my heart pure? Are my hands clean? At this point, the barn was suddenly filled with the powerful presence of God. And amongst the many amazing things that happened, 100 young people who were in a dance hall nearby felt compelled to go to the local church where they never went to, along with hundreds of others. And more than 20,000 people came to faith there in the next few weeks. The persistent prayer of the sisters and the elders had turned the answer from amber to green. If the request is right and the timing's right and we are right with God, then God says yes. And God often gives us the green light to our prayers, which is reason to celebrate and be thankful. And God answers far more prayers than we realise. But we are blinkered to the goodness of God all around us. If we kept a journal of prayer requests going back through our lives, we'd be surprised at how many times God said yes to our prayer requests. Well, more recently, there has been an international movement of 24/7 prayer, actually since 1999, which aims to revive the church and rewire culture with constant prayer. The Salvation Army received a prophetic word that if they would turn to God and seek him in prayer, he would hear from heaven and send the rain. So in response to this, they committed themselves to a year of 24/7 prayer, 365 days of constant prayer. And during those 12 months, many Salvation Army churches started to grow again. God sent the rains of renewal that he'd promised. Well, in the parable that we've heard this morning, the unjust judge doesn't care about God or man, and finally gives in to the ceaseless petitions of the defenceless widow. She wears him down with her petitions until he's had enough. He's just fed up. Jesus is not comparing God to an unjust judge. The parable should be read in the context of an earlier comment by Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if even the most unjust of judges will finally concede to the ceaseless petitions of a defenceless widow, then how much more will God answer our prayers? This is both an invitation and an encouragement to pray without giving up, to be confident of God's desire to respond to his people. In the parable, Jesus asks a final question at the end. He says, "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" Jesus wants to know if he will find any faithful prayer warriors left on the earth when he returns. Jesus is saying something like this: "You can count on the fact that I will return, and that I will bring about justice on the earth when I come. The issue for you to concern yourselves about is not whether I will fulfil my promises, but whether you will be found faithful when I return. Will we be God's people who have kept praying, 'Your kingdom come, your will be done,' until Jesus returns? Or will we be people who have lost heart and given up? What prayers might God be calling you to keep praying and not give up?" Amen.